Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. We are officially Patrick Mahomes days away from NFL kickoff, 15 days. We are so excited and so excited to be here with you guys. So there's a lot going on in the NFL right now. We are mid-preseason and one game left to go tomorrow night for the Chiefs versus the Bears. But we have a lot to get into with you guys because we've been off for a little bit. So I'm your host, Lexi.
Hey, y'all. What's up? I am Jody, and it is so good to be here with you lovely people today. I'm like trying to make sure that the stream is being shown while also sitting here talking to you. But let's go ahead. And
is it good? Because, yeah, I'm having issues on my end.
Was not good. Not good. But let's kind of go ahead and get into it. Let's talk about around the NFL, because as we know, we are getting close to cut day. Like Lexi said, week three preseason is next week. There's just a lot. Wait, this week. Oh, my God. This week.
Yeah.
I'm losing track of time. But we are already almost there. Like, oh, my God, 15 days. Like, insane. So let's kind of just start with some of the drama in the AFC West, which I guess it's not drama. But the Broncos have declared that Bo Nix is their starter, which, duh, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, okay, I just wanted to make sure that that was a duh. And that everybody knew that was a duh.
I think he's shown out in their preseason for sure. I don't know what that means for regular season for him, but you know, I mean, good for Bo. He's played football for a very long time. He's 26 or 27 years old already as a rookie. Mm-hmm. So he's an older rookie for football. It's not old in like normal human terms, but like old for football as a rookie.
Old in
so
football, for sure. I mean, and I think it's as expected that he was going to be the starter there. I mean, Sean Payton loves that guy, and he just thinks that he's the best thing since mayonnaise and sliced bread, and we will see what happens from there. Now, I will say he did have a good preseason game the other day against Green Bay, which, of course, he did because Green Bay had all of their starters out. So I feel because he had a great game last week, they're like, oh, my God, he's just going to be this, like, fantastic quarterback who is just as good as Patrick Mahomes. So you know what? We will see week one how that plays out for him going against a real team and a real defense and not a backup or a starter or anything of that nature.
It's the same thing with any of these rookie quarterbacks. I mean, you can only take so much from preseason, but what we've seen out of Bo Nix, he's definitely a Sean Payton guy. So yep. I think that definitely fits their offense. Weapon wise, it was, I guess, as a Chiefs fan, not nice, but like good for him for Tim Patrick, their wide receiver. He's actually a really good wide receiver. He's just always injured, and it's always like season-ending injuries. So it was nice to see him have like a huge play in the preseason game for them.
Yeah.
For sure. I don't know. I don't know what the Broncos are going to be this year. It's like a totally, totally different team. They do not have a lot of flashy names on their team. So it's really just like guys that are trying to make names for themselves. And
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see what happens. But,
you know, if Sean Payton can turn this team around and they really get it together for this football season, you know, I will find some ounces of respect to give him. But my expectations are not high at all.
No.
We'll see. Let's keep it in the AFC West. Justin Herbert, they say that he's going to play week one. It seems like that's what the reports are coming out now, that he'll play week one. They said he had like some type of boot on the other day when he was at practice, because he is dealing with plantar fasciitis. So we will see how that goes for him. They have a lot going on there too. So
yeah,
a lot of holes. I don't know who has more holes between the Broncos and the Chargers.
Or the Raiders. The Raiders probably have the least amount of holes aside from quarterback.
You know what my hot take is, right?
I said I don't know.
Is, and people aren't gonna like this, and I do not care, but I think the Raiders are the second best team in the AFC West.
I think the same thing. I actually agree. I fully agree.
I think they're the second best team. They did not lose that many people.
Their defense is really good.
They still have Devontae Adams. They did figure out what they were going to do at running back. They have new coaching, which they're – so here's the thing for me. You know I'm, like, real big on coaches. Like, I don't care what your team looks like. I don't care how many players you have. If you don't have a good head coach, then you're not going to probably be a great team. Now, I am not saying that Antonio Pierce is – a great head coach. What I'm saying is that team is sold on him and they are all in on him, and he is creating a positive environment, or whatever they call it, because it's probably not necessarily positive. It's whatever their aura is, right?
It's Raider culture.
Well, he created it, right? And now he has a full season to kind of lead this team and do it the way he wants to. And I think they are all in. And so that is why I say they're the second best team. I think next year the Chargers have the chance to get back to being that number two team in the division. And the Broncos, I think this is like a one-year fluke for the Raiders, but just being very honest. But, that's what I think.
I agree. I think the Raiders have gone into this offseason, like, I've never seen them so confident and, like, speaking out so much and talking a lot. So.
Yes.
They definitely have a lot to live up to, and I think that game on Christmas against us boosted their confidences to, like, an insane level.
As it should. I mean,
I get it, but, like, good God. Like, it was very fluky stuff that was happening that, like, never happens for our offense at all. So, and our defense held up. It's just, I don't know. I don't see that happening again, but it's always a good game against the Raiders. And I do think, I think they're the strongest team other than us in the AFC West. I think the Chargers, like, I don't know, their receivers worry me. I think Ladd McConkey could be good. I think Palmer might be fine. I don't think Quentin Johnson is going to be what they want him to be. He's kind of like their Sky Moore. We'll get to that later.
I don't think so either. And they have a brand new head coach. They're learning a new system, and
he's going to be a great head coach, but I don't think this first year is going to be like rainbows and butterflies for them. I think it's going to be tough.
100%
agree. Yeah. The Broncos, like I said, I just think they're totally up in the air and I have no idea what they're going to be. Which it could be like. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to stop myself.
Yeah, just. Because it's not going to – don't be one of those people.
No. I'm not going to say it.
Let's stay in the AFC. So the Browns announced today that Deshaun Watson left practice with soreness, which literally nobody is surprised by that. They paid a whole lot of money for a guy that's kind of like a bum. Like, he's not the guy he was his first year.
Not at all.
Very unfortunate for your organization for spending all of that money on him to not do anything. So, not surprised at all by this Browns news. But it's crazy because they're still going to have probably a top two defense.
Yeah. Their defense is great.
Yeah, they're still going to have that. I mean, they still have Amari Cooper. They just got Jerry Jeudy. Didn't he go to the Browns?
Yep.
So, I mean, they definitely have receivers on that roster who are going to be big playmakers, but who's throwing you the ball?
Jameis Winston?
Hey, so, okay, wait.
We love Jameis. I know. But like,
he's like the funniest dude in America.
He is. And he gives the best pregame speeches. Like, if y'all need something to like hype you up for your day, go listen to a Jameis Winston pregame speech because they are elite.
But he is hilarious. And that's the thing. Like, he has such, it feels like Jameis Winston is damage control for Deshaun Watson because he's like so opposite. Friendly, positive, good energy, just motivating. And you don't get that from Deshaun at all. So it's like,
no. And I'm just trying to think, like, even like before all the drama with Deshaun, I'm like, I don't even feel like he was like that before. I just feel like he's kind of a more mellow, like lower energy type of guy. I could be wrong, but I don't ever remember seeing like a headline of him being like the hype guy. I don't know.
So, I mean, and the AFC North is hard. I think we've had that conversation several times. They're going to beat each other up, whoever's left, they're going to come to Arrowhead.
Yeah.
So, I can't wait to watch every single AFC North game. I can't wait to watch Hard Knocks of the AFC North to see how that plays out. It's going to be good because, two AFC North teams play the Chiefs literally week one and week two. So we're going to be all over. You can't get rid of us that easy. So.
No. And then we play the other two later. Like,
As
I don't even know. What weeks is it? I have it on my phone. We play the Browns December 15th and we play the Steelers. Or no. Yeah, December 15th. We play the Steelers December 25th.
On Christmas. Yeah. I'm like,
so same thing. It's like 10 days apart. Same thing as our beginning.
I know we like will talk about this as we get closer to December, but I still can't believe we have 3 games in 10 days.
Oh my God. It's going to be brutal.
In a week 6 bye.
I don't even. We'll get there when we get there.
Like, I'm tired thinking about it. So anyway,
I'm tired and I don't play.
Exactly. Let's head over to the NFC. Cowboys still missing a lot of key pieces, starting with CeeDee Lamb, Sadarius Land, who posted Evil Spider-Man the other day, and it made me excited. I was thrilled. I love Evil Spider-Man, and he's channeling his villain era. And what that message told me is they came at him with an offer and it disrespected him.
Yeah, probably. Right?
Wouldn't you
say that's what it's seeming like? And I don't know what the heck is up with Jerry Jones. And I know he's kind of always been this way, but like,
yes.
For you to have 3 players that are really, really deserving of being paid in Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, and obviously Dak Prescott, their quarterback, who just had a near MVP caliber season. I don't understand how you're like, you're just clutching your pocketbooks. Like, is he going broke himself? Like, am I missing something?
They just released an article saying that franchise was like worth $8 billion. So yeah. The bread is there. The money
you're
is not
fine.
Gone. Yeah.
No.
The money is there. They went out and signed like a DT today. You see that? They went and got a tackle. I was like, what?
Yes. He was on the Bills last year and he used to be on the Chargers.
I'm like, what are y'all doing? Yeah. Y'all are a very unserious franchise.
They don't make any sense. They make zero sense.
I mean, and if it was me, like, who do you pay, right? Like, do you pay your defense or do you pay your receiver? Like, I think if it was me, I'm paying Micah Parsons.
I was going to say, you got to pay Micah.
Personally.
But like, now with CeeDee, I feel like he's been very, very elite. But like,
yeah, he deserves the bag.
My thing is, Micah has been elite from the get-go. CeeDee took a little bit longer to get going. So I guess if you're like, okay, who am I going to pay? I would lean, if you're going to choose, I would lean towards Micah.
Yeah.
Because he is just a freaking game wrecker. And CeeDee, he's been very good, but his most elite season was last year. And before that, it wasn't like he was considered a top 5 receiver, I would say.
Well, I would say he was definitely top 10, but they had Amari Cooper lined up with
him. He was top 10. Yeah, for sure. But like, I just feel like This last year, he finally separated himself and became.
And that's because he didn't have a choice. He was the only one, right?
So, he was really good. But
yeah, he had to be really good. And him and Dak have a really good connection. So I don't understand. It's coaching, right? I don't think Mike McCarthy is a good coach. Like, we're just going to put it out
He's
there.
Very average. He's very mid.
Not a great coach. Like, y'all got him from Green Bay because Green Bay beat up on him on the Cowboys all the time. Yeah. Like, I get it. But that doesn't mean that that translates. And it's definitely not going to translate when your general manager can't get out the locker room. So wish you guys the best of luck down there in Dallas.
Good luck. My God.
The home opener is real quick for y'all. 17 days or 19 days, whatever that is. So
should we talk about the two other receivers that are still causing drama? Which is Ayuk and Jamar Chase.
If we go over to Niners Nation, let's go to Niners Nation because you were telling me that there's some stuff going on with Jamar and I have not paid attention because you know how I feel about him. So,
well, how we all feel.
Brandon Ayuk still not at training camp, still not at practice, still not at games.
Apparently, they've made him all these offers and he just, none of them are working.
I don't know why he thinks that he's a $30 million a year receiver. He is not.
Like, you are good, but.
You are not. So do you.
There's got to be boundaries at some point, right?
So I feel like those three receivers are waiting for a domino to fall. They're waiting for either CD or Brandon or Jamar to get paid. And all three of them are like, nah. But you can tell all three of them are on the phone with each other. And they're like, let's run this market up. We can run this market up. If you okay with not going, I'm okay with not going. That's really what it feels like.
Yeah.
Like, I need them to actually get on a podcast and talk about it. Because Brandon Ayuk should probably be the first paid out of the three because he's not nearly on the other two's level. He definitely doesn't deserve. I think he is like a $25 million receiver. Maybe 26. And I get it. Receivers are trying to be paid at the top of the market because that's how the market is. Like, me and you are smart. We totally understand that. But that doesn't mean that's what you're worth. And I also truly believe that the Niners let him go test the market. And everybody was like, no. I mean, besides the Steelers who were like, yes. But I mean, the Patriots who were like, yeah. But that's the Niners will be fine without Brandon Ayuk. That's my point.
Yeah, they have Debo Samuel, who like really is technically their one, and that's like their best weapon. Yeah,
and CMC
and Christian McCaffrey.
So like,
sorry, Brandon.
The Niners will be fine. Brandon Ayuk should probably tighten up.
So, and it's just been way too much drama and like nonsense. Like, it's not even worth it. He is very good. Don't get me wrong, but like. If it's going to be all that drama just to get you to stay or to get you, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's getting kind of out of hand. Yes, Juan Thornhill did go to the Browns.
And he got injured last season. So you didn't see him out there, but yes, he is back and healthy.
But so then to just briefly touch on Jamar Chase real quick. So he, unlike CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Ayuk, Jamar Chase still has 2 years left on his contract. So he shouldn't even be like really demanding money right now, but he is.
Correct.
And
you think it's because of his injuries last season?
He's had injuries, I think, every year almost.
He definitely was banged up last year. Bad.
Jamar Chase is such a, he's an interesting fella. He's an interesting fella.
He's a diva.
He is a diva. He hates the Kansas City Chiefs with all of his heart, which is fine. I love that. But
we love it real bad. I saw somebody comment today, like something, see you at Burrowhead. And I was like, you're very unserious.
Oh, yeah.
You're very unserious.
Like, that was calm a down. Fan, too. I'm like, okay.
Calm down.
But
you're unserious.
So Jamar Chase has said he would hold out. There's rumors saying that he would hold out until he's paid, which is crazy. So I'm like, fine. Pay him week three. Good with me.
There is no way in my mind that Jamar Chase is missing week two.
Because there's no way. There's no way.
Let's be very clear. That could be the only time they see us this year. We don't know if they're making it to the playoffs.
Right. I would think there's absolutely no way he's missing it. But at the same, I don't know. It's very weird. He's been holding out the entire camp or holding in. So he's like at practice, but he's not doing anything. And then he just stands there and he like just looks like such a little diva. He just is. He's such a diva. What?
He should dye his hair blonde too.
He should pair it with Burrow. but I don't know. Something just really rubs me wrong about him. Like, I don't know. I don't see him wanting to play with anyone else besides Burrow, but like,
exactly.
He's definitely being a diva. You're great. You're fantastic, but you have he's 2 years left on your contract.
When he's healthy. Yeah.
And he wants to be higher paid than Justin Jefferson by like $5 million a year.
And no way.
He wants, I it's just like the demands that I'm seeing. I'm like, are you?
A, you're not better than Justin Jefferson.
No.
Like.
Jamar.
Period. Exactly. You're not better than him. So no. Here's my thing though. Okay. I understand the hold in. I understand I want to be paid because I'm injured. Like, I get that. Because say Jamar goes out there this season, which is going to be his season where he should ball out because then he could really get paid next offseason. But maybe he's not. And I don't know. I'm also not going to speculate because I don't really care about the Bengals. But what if he's not 100% healthy like people are saying? Like, so maybe that's why he's like, I don't want to do anything that is going to trigger me being, you know, causing a worse injury. So that I understand that and I respect that. Like, I understand that and I respect that. But at the same time, it's like lots of players are out here paying millions and millions of dollars to have that treatment on their body so they can go out there and go to war every week. So it's like you can pick and choose. If you don't want to play, you ain't got to pay. But you're definitely being fined a lot. And when you start missing games, that check is even bigger. So if that's what you choose to do, okay. And then it kind of makes me question, like, we know Joe Burrow's not that healthy either. He's still playing with a massive glove on his hand.
That's what I'm wondering also. Like, what is that about?
Hi, Caleb. So do you think that it's a matter of, I don't know if Joe's gonna play the whole season, so maybe I should wait? Like, do you think it's a matter of let's see what Joey looks like week one with this hand sprain injury, whatever? And
Joe Burrow's injury is so weird. It's so unique and like hardly anyone's had it in the NFL. So like, I don't even know.
It could be career ending.
Yeah.
So like, that's what makes me nervous.
Yeah,
about him, because Joe Burrow's really good. But
no, I actually really feel for him.
If he has to wear a glove, that impacts your game 1,000%.
The thing that I'm wondering too is like, so the Bengals and Joe Burrow himself have been very closed off about what's happening, I feel like, with his injury.
Quiet.
Which I understand. I feel like Andy Reid would be the same way, and Patrick Mahomes would be too. So I get it, but like... Okay. Yeah, it's definitely weird that, like, in between every pass, he's having to put on, like, this oven mitt type glove. Not an oven mitt, but it's, like, a thick glove that, like, like a snow glove almost that he has to put on because in between they said, like, something with, like, the heat and the dryness or something, like, can affect something in his hand. And I'm like, how are you going to go out? Let's say you're in a 20-degree game this winter. How are you going to go out and, like, are you going to have to put on this glove in between each throw? Or, like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's, you know, and God, and I hate that. Like, I don't want to continue to talk about the Bengals, but I hate that because, A, I do love the rivalry. B, I do think I loved Joe Burrow when he was at LSU. It was when he went to the Bengals, and I was like, oh, I hate him now. Dang. But, like, he's a great quarterback. Yeah. So
he is.
I'm just hoping that whatever they do, their medical staff, everybody's medical staff ain't the Chiefs. So whatever they do, I'm just hoping that they don't put him in a worse situation where he's out for the whole season.
Right.
That's it. And I feel like maybe Jamar is kind of trying to play out what's going on with Joe. But then at the same time, it's like, well, say Joe does have to miss a game or two, you need to go out there and show that you're the leader that you are. You want to go make $40 million a year? Go out there and lead your team and let them know that things are going to be okay if we don't have our leader. That
right.
I feel like any of our receivers would do that in a heartbeat. That's all. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our team. I'm like, that. There's a lot going on in the NFL, and there's going to be even more going on next week, especially by the time we have our show next Tuesday. So I cannot wait. But yeah, let's go ahead and kind of get into like the recap of our team. Let's talk about preseason so far. I mean, we've had two games now. We're getting ready for game three. And I feel like we cannot even start this segment unless we talk about freaking Patrick Mahomes and freaking Travis Kelce and this behind the back Patrick Mahomes. Oh, it was an accident. Travis, no, this was planned. Like,
you're a troll, Patrick.
They get on my nerves. I just want to make it very clear that they get on my nerves. But
they're such trolls, but I love it.
You could tell it was definitely like entertainment factor, like. And I took it like, okay, this is a preseason game. Chiefs fans know that these are the games they bring all their children to because tickets are cheaper and, you know, it's just more fun and cutesy and things of that nature. So for them to practice, for them to pull out the behind the back that they've been practicing for like years, it feels like at this point, and to finally do it, yo, we were both at Arrowhead.
That stadium like shook when he did that.
Holy, holy. And so, like, I was watching, and I was like, did he just? And then they put it on the
jumbotron. He really just did that.
Yeah. Literally. I wasn't even excited. I didn't yell. I was like, he really just did.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Pat. Okay, like, Pat.
You're dumb in the best way. Like, you're so freaking good. He's so freaking good. And I love all the haters that are like, at first it was like, oh, well, he's only doing it in practice, blah, blah, blah. Let's see it in a game. Then he does it in a game and it's, oh, it's only preseason, so we can't give him any credit. And I'm like, y'all are so insufferable. It's hilarious. Haters. You just love to hate on greatness.
We kind of talked about this, though, the other day, though. So we had a space on Twitter and we were talking about this behind the back pass. And we were like, to be very transparent, a lot of things could have went wrong with this. Could have been a pick, could have been a fumble. Travis could have been literally not paying attention.
And he really wasn't. But, sorry. No, Travis really even wasn't paying attention. And I don't know if he actually ran the wrong route, like Patrick said, or whatever it actually was. But Travis made it work like he does. And they just have a knack for knowing what each other is going to do and knowing. Like, he needed to be open for his guy. And Travis will say that. He's like, I know when I'm, like, doing maybe something a little bit wrong that's, like, maybe not. But, like, you know the two of them were texting, like, the night before, like, let's try to pull this off and let's make it not, like, obvious or whatever. And
absolutely. Love
but
that.
They pulled it off really
that
well.
That chemistry is insane. It's
unbelievable. Like, it's they
insane.
Should.
Yeah. I think they share a brain.
They really do.
I think we said that a few seasons ago, like, I think they share a brain because they like, really are just on the same page.
I'm sure we've seen similar things, but like their connection is just unbelievable.
I love it. So, okay. Besides the cute entertainment, that was fun. And would we love to see it in a regular season game? Sure. If it's going to lead to a
right situation
or a fumble, please don't.
The thing
if
is
up by 20. Sure.
The thing is, Jody, like, how do you, the thing is Patrick can now even fake this and pretend he's doing that and then throw it over someone's head, too.
And then run for 15 yards. Like, what?
How do defensive coordinators even begin to plan? Like, first of all, they have to plan for Worthy, Hollywood when he's ready, Travis, Rashi Rice, Isaiah Pacheco, all these other guys. They have to plan for all that kind of stuff. And now you're telling me I have to account for, like, a potential backhanded pass when, like, it probably will only happen maybe once this entire season. No exactly. one's gonna know when it's coming.
Right.
That's the beauty in it. Is like, it's not a normal play and it's not gonna be like something you can really prepare for, but you have to know it's a possibility.
Well, don't forget Patrick Mahomes also created the shovel pass. So
that too, I mean,
a lot he of mastered people didn't it. Start yeah. doing that yeah. until he started doing that
yeah.
a few seasons ago. But yes, let's go ahead and start with the
yeah. We can well, were there any other highlights? I don't know if there's like many highlights.
I mean, like, Xavier Worthy, but... fast as hell.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Sorry,
love
NFL.
To see that.
Trent McDuffie said, "If you're not backpedaling,
yeah,
then you're getting screwed." Burned. And I'm yeah. gonna assume he says that because he got burned.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Yeah,
Xavier Worthy is ridiculous.
I'm so excited about him.
I do think that like him being in Texas with Pat and building that chemistry off the rip, like. It caught on so fast. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like, I don't want to say you don't see struggle, but you don't see struggle with Xavier Worthy.
No. And he's very confident, which I love. And he's just like, no, yeah. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to make these plays. And so yeah. far, he's
and
been
I'm
very
fast.
Good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's what speed yeah. do. Remember that? Aw, that's what speed do.
I still don't even think he's like ran full speed yet either.
No.
In these games.
I don't think so either.
I don't
so.
Think he has. I think in practice he has, but like in these games, I don't think he has yet. So I'm like, okay, so we're going to unlock. Okay, great.
So I would say that is it. Oh, sorry. Royals game on real loud in the background. I apologize.
Oh my God.
but I would say those two were like maybe the biggest highlights for me besides like Kingsley, Suma Mataia, being yeah. incredibly great in the left tackle spot. So
I'm so excited about that. I'm so excited about him.
And of course, like there's still things that he needs to work on. Like I think we both have been listening to press conferences nonstop, yeah. right? And you hear Andy talking about, and Andy, he even said this on the franchise, like technique is where, I'm sorry, Chris Jones. Chris Jones even said this on the franchise. He said, the one thing that we have to work on and we have to be better at is our technique. It doesn't matter if we go out there and we're great, but if our technique is not right, then we're not going to win at this. So, I mean, you can hear that, like, that is what they're really focusing on. And I love that Chris Jones is really like having that impact still being yeah. in the room. And we know nothing's wrong with Chris Jones's shoulder. I just want to make that clear. He will be playing. Oh,
yeah.
Week one.
He'll be fine. Week one.
It's yeah. 100 degrees outside. So Chris Jones,
can I just say, we were cooking in that game. Oh my gosh, it was hot.
It was
hot.
It was really
the
hot.
The last time we were at Arrowhead, it was negative 30. This time it was like 105.
It was
so hot. It was quite the temperature change.
I'm very but... grateful that they let us take our mini fans.
Mini fan is necessary Christ. Because, oh my gosh.
Yeah. yeah.
But no. It was hot. So actually I felt for the players too, because I'm like, this has to be affecting the game a little bit because it was that hot.
Right.
You know, like it was
they'll be all right. They'll be all right.
But they're no. fine. They're tough. But
I will say though, it's just really good to hear that they're talking about technique on both sides of the ball and they want to make sure that we already know that these are the things that we're good at, but how can we perfect it and be better at it? And we still have, I would say, one of the best offensive lines. Our offensive line did not change much. It only changed at the left tackle position. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people are questioning Juwan Taylor. Like, do we think that he's going to be better this season based off of how last season went? I mean, he's lost weight. He looks good. He looks like he's lighter on his feet. And we already know what he can do on his feet. And I think now he's had not only a whole preseason and offseason and whole season to get it right. I don't think the NFL is going to pick on him nearly as much as they did. God bless you. I don't think the NFL is going to pick on him nearly as much as they did last season. But again, he's had a whole season now to kind of get that together and tighten that up. So I think Juwan Taylor is going to be good. He looks good coming off the line, especially at right tackle. So very happy from there. You alive?
We're both having like allergy attacks apparently.
Yeah, it was
no, I could feel like a tickle in my nose and I'm like, oh my God. No, I completely agree with you. I think we actually talked to Juwan Taylor on the red carpet for the ring ceremony. We both said, like, I think his play went really underrated towards the end of last
Absolutely.
season, because it was overshadowed by all the freaking by all the penalties. Great. People just want to associate him with that, and I'm like, actually, if you watch him, like, he's very good. He's very good in the run game. He's strong in the pass game. he has a few things he can improve on here and there, but I think just being in the system for a year and then another camp with it, like, he's going to be, I'm not worried about him at all. So, no, and I think
not at all.
One of our biggest worries obviously was left tackle, but I think we all love what we've seen so far with Kingsley. So
we do.
Like you said, there's still going to be room to improve. He's going to have his welcome to the NFL moment, probably week one.
Oh, absolutely.
With that Ravens defense. Like,
1,000% the Ravens defense is going to be like, hi. And I'm going to be like, okay, that was expected.
Okay, yeah.
That was expected. Now, I will say my only worry is we don't really have depth there. And if our depth is depending on Wanya Morris, then that gives me anxiety because I'm not sold there still.
Even so, she's saying, like, so Niang, he's been on this team.
God bless, no.
He's been on this team for a long time, but he's not a starter in this league. He's not.
No, he's not a backup in this league.
He wasn't horrid, but, like, it was not good. It was a lot of pressure, a lot of Patrick is really good, so that makes up for it.
God bless. Like,
if you had Niang,
Trey Smith is really good, thank God.
But let's say you have Niang on like the Broncos, like Bo Nix is not making that work. You know what I mean? Like,
and Trey Smith is really good.
Trey Smith is so freaking good.
When you look at last season, thank God interior is so good. Jerick McKinnon to be able to actually help, like, if he was out there, there was support around him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, don't get it twisted. You might have that tight end that can't block out there blocking.
Should we talk about running backs a little bit, or should we stick with?
Definitely get into it, because I have our running back room going as this Isaiah Pacheco.
Well, okay.
Carson Steele.
Mm-hmm.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I have Denarik Prince making the practice squad. That is my hot take.
Something I think should be said, which I don't know if all of our listeners know this or yada yada, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been dealing with a very serious case of PTSD, I would say.
Yeah.
Just stuff that he's been through in his past, stuff that's re-triggered it now. I think stuff that happened at the parade kind of maybe re-triggered it for him, which is highly, highly, highly unfortunate. And I really appreciate him speaking out. If you haven't had a chance, he spoke a few weeks ago in the press and really opened up about his mental health journey and how this PTSD is affecting him. And I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire, it's one of those guys you don't want to see it happen to anyone, but he's one of those guys that he's such a bright light. And like, you can tell his teammates absolutely adore him. Like, he's so close with Travis Kelce, Isaiah Pacheco. He's such a bright light on this team that I think that is even why they brought him back. And he knows the playbook really well. Yeah.
This is year five for CEH on this team.
Year five. So
you would be almost crazy to not bring him back because he understands the system so well.
But my wonder is, like, if he's not fully over these PTSD episodes that are happening to him right now that are hospitalizing him pretty frequently, which is really scary. So prayers up for him, for one, I want to say that. But for two, like, I wonder, not that I think they take him off the roster, but I wonder if they put him like on IR or non-football injury list type thing at the beginning of the year. I don't know.
I think that's a high possibility. And that's the reason why I say, and he's battling with weight issues too. His weight's going up, his weight's going down. And if you want to be a power back, you can't really lose your weight, right?
Right.
So that's why I think Carson Steele he's definitely a lock on this roster, because
I'm actually
putting him with Isaiah Pacheco
year. Yeah.
He already runs angry. He runs hard. He knows how to block. Giving Isaiah Pacheco, taking him under his wing, that is going to be an insane duo, right?
And I love seeing Pacheco as the leader, because he is so he's so all about these guys. And
absolutely. And that's the thing. Now, I also like I also like Carson Steele maybe taking that number two spot, because one, CEH is dealing with enough. We don't need to add no more stress to whatever is happening there. So if he can take some of the responsibility away from him, and it's like, we're going to bring you in for these few moments, and he come in and execute at that, great. if he's having a week or two where he's like, yo, I just can't this week.
I can't do it.
We have to drop him down. Great. You don't have to have this responsibility. So yeah. I think that like CEH's work, he had an incredible season last year. Like very clear that that needs to be stated. Like incredible season last year. Another thing, like I feel like I have to tell people because it ain't clicking. We know what he can do. He's been on this team for 5 years. I don't need to see him at training camp. I don't need to see him in preseason.
In preseason, yeah.
I know the work that he delivers. You don't see Travis Kelce out there. Well, you do. You don't see Chris Jones out there.
Yeah, you don't see Chris Jones. See,
like, there's a lot of veterans that are not out there. We don't need to see them. We know the work they can deliver. We will see you week one. Justin Reed already said he's good. We don't need to see him. We know what he's going to be able to deliver for us.
I will say.
So I need people to keep that same energy for CEH. We know what he's going to do.
Well, you know what he's capable of. He's not the top running back. Isaiah Pacheco took his job. So CEH has a role, and that's fine. Absolutely. And that's what he's here for. And I know people hate because now if CEH was taken in round six, people wouldn't even be like mad about this, I don't think. But he was taken in round one, so it is what it is. But
it's the FAU slander that's coming.
I know that's the next. Yeah. But I will. Yeah. But moving on, I agree. I think Carson Steele, I think, has that number two spot on lock. Oh, I think he's shown what he can do behind our backup O-line and stuff like that. So I think behind our normal offense, I think he's going to be a star. So I'm really excited about him.
I can't wait. And for everybody who's new, we did an interview with Carson Steele this summer. Please go on our YouTube channel. Go watch it. Hilarious.
He's just awesome. He has great energy. Yeah.
He's good energy. He's good vibes. Yeah. So someone in...
He's very humble too. Like just...
Hi, good seeing you too. Let's talk about this comment right here. Did y'all see what Stroop said today? He thinks Nico is a great player for the Chiefs, blah, 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 blah. Now.
I briefly listened to what he said, but I
did not see what he said, but I've heard all of the reports coming out of camp already about Nico. I think Nico is a lock on this roster.
Well, Dave Tobe said in his last press conference the other day, yesterday, 2 days ago, he said he is pounding the table for Nico Remigio to make the roster.
And he also said that he's going to be one of the returners for the punt return.
And he looked really good. He looked really good on special teams.
So
I think that's where he earns his spot.
Here's where it gets spicy. For weeks. Okay. I said that we were taking six receivers. Weeks. Okay.
But up until the other day.
On Monday, I changed my mind and said we're taking seven. It was Monday.
So like I said, the other day. It's only Wednesday.
We're going to keep seven receivers.
I think so, too.
Okay, Lexi. We got to go through the list. Who is the seventh receiver? Hollywood Brown, Rashi Rice, Xavier Worthy, Mecole Hardman.
Justin Watson,
right?
Those are five. Easy.
Probably Nico Remigio.
And that's Justin six. Ross?
Sky Moore
or Justin Ross? Shoot.
KT?
I don't think KT's making it.
I know we're talking about who we don't think is making the roster later in this show.
Oh, man.
Who is your seventh receiver?
God, I am so... Okay.
Is it Sky Moore or Justin Ross?
Here's my thing. Justin Ross has had the camp and preseason of his life.
This year and last year.
But he's looked even better this year.
I agree. 1,000%. And he had a good camp last year.
Francesca.
He looks really good this year. Okay, just for the people listening, all the comments right now are saying Justin Ross. We got one Sky Moore.
Man, it's so hard. Okay, so... First preseason game, Nico Remigio looked pretty good, but he had a really, really big mistake that he made. And those can be the kind of things that cost you a spot.
Correct.
When Dave Tobe said he's beating the table for Nico Remigio, that tells me that he is not a lock in Andy Reid and Brett Veach's eyes. That tells me that they really want him for special teams.
Yeah.
And not necessarily wide receiver. Now, Justin Ross is the kind of guy who I don't think is going to do much on special teams. And I don't know what he looks like on the main roster because he never gets... Okay, my thing with Justin Ross is he never gets like a crazy fair chance. Like, we put him in like last season. We put him in on random plays.
Yep.
He gets like two chances and then he's done for the game. And you're like, I don't know what to make of him because he doesn't get like a crazy fair shot. Yeah, no, I think we're all off the KT train at this point.
Yeah, we're
on. I was on it at the beginning of camp. I was like willing to give him a chance, but I think having two penalties on one play in this last game for Kadarius
Toney, on your very first time on the field.
That was his deathbed. Sky Moore, I think, has a very political chance of making it on this roster because he was a second round pick just a few years ago in 2022. If you listen to our wide receiver coach, Connor Embry, speak about him, he spoke incredibly highly of Sky Moore, saying he can do anything you want him to do, which, okay.
But do you think that the coaches now are, like,
and trying the to tell their players
to coach, like, all right, coach, I need you to listen. Well,
here's apparently the quarterbacks love Sky, too. So, like,
okay. Something you just said just triggered something in my mind. I was listening to something. I was listening to a sports podcast earlier, a Chiefs one, a Kansas City one. And they were talking about how, what's the boy's name in Denver? Drew Luck. Drew Luck is out there, right? He's in Denver.
No, he's a Giant now.
Who is the backup in Denver?
Stidham.
No.
Or Zach Wilson.
Wilson. They were like, oh my God, Zach Wilson has looked so good. He has been so great. Woo. And they were like, nah, they were just trying to hype him up.
Because
they're trying to get something for him.
That's fair. So that's fair.
That's what is happening with our receivers. Sky or Justin Ross. Now, my reasoning for Justin Ross is very simple. Say Rashi Rice gets suspended in the middle of the year. You're going to want somebody the same body type as him to be able to go out there and execute those same plays. Justin Ross can do that.
Yeah.
That would be my reasoning for that. Now, granted, dude could go to the practice squad and we just elevate him up when we need to. Incredibly high possibility. But that would be my reasoning because I think we're only keeping three tight ends. So that would be my reasoning to make sure you have another big body on the field that could go up and get the ball. Because, one, they're going to be playing too high safety against us. Have you seen how much speed we got on this team? Two, because they're going to be
you're going to go back to the same.
Imagine Travis Kelce, Hollywood Brown, and Rashi Rice on the field at the same time. Imagine Rashi Rice, Xavier Worthy,
Hollywood, and Travis.
Daytime.
Hollywood, with, Travis. Oh my God. With
Isaiah Pacheco in your backfield. What? Yeah. What?
So no, that's insane.
That would be my reasoning. I think if you're going to go off of body style, we got enough Sky Moore body styles. We don't have enough Justin Ross. And if you need a dude who's going to jump up over your corner. It's going to be Justin Ross is going to go get the ball. He's going to jump and get the ball, and he don't drop the ball. So that would be my reasoning for Justin Ross.
Justin Ross is someone I really want to have a chance. I really, really.
Hey, man, they deserve it.
But, like, Justin is the one, like you said, he's, like, the one body type we don't have. Like, we have Rushy, who would be the most similar. Maybe Justin Watson a little bit.
Right.
But.
We don't have that body.
We have all these tiny little guys that are speedsters, but like they're tiny.
Exactly. Like, they're babies.
Justin Ross put Justin Ross in the end zone and like let him score touchdowns. Let him score touchdowns.
I'm gonna throw it up and you go get it.
Okay. And he'll go catch it. He'll separate and go catch it.
Literally.
That's all we like. Oh.
So that is why, like, if I had to, because y'all already forced me to say seven receivers. Okay. So since I'm forced to say seven receivers, it got to be Justin Ross. And even if Nico does not make it, I think it's Justin Ross and Sky Moore. But yeah. if you say Sky Moore, then that means you're insinuating that he's a better punt kick returner than Nico. And it sounds like Nico is better than Sky.
I think Nico probably is better, but I think Sky is politically better.
But, so. And Nico has better vision than Sky.
Yeah.
You know, it gets spicy.
Sky's credit, he had a few decent returns this last game, I think it was.
But he just don't know how to play under the lights. The bright lights are too bright for him.
Now, he...
you know it. We talked about
He had his moment versus the Bengals in the AFC Championship game a few years ago. Before the Eagles Super Bowl.
We talked about last year.
But... I just...
Yeah, we talk about last season.
Tuesday. I don't really want Sky, but I think it's going to.
I genuinely don't know how I'm going to get work done on Tuesday. They're not going to release that final roster until...
And I really like Sky as a person. Yeah.
359. You know what? I think our game on Thursday is going to be incredibly telling of who is on this roster and who's
pretty
not.
Much it.
Whoever
yeah.
is still playing in the third and the fourth quarter, they are fighting for a roster spot.
Yeah.
So we will know what receivers are still out there fighting for a roster spot by the third and the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And if Sky's out there, or if Camp Body KT is out there, they're going to try to pawn KT off of something.
I don't even, man.
Nobody wants you. We want him to go be a rapper.
KT, okay? The thing is with him, though, he will get picked up by someone, and maybe we can get a late run. Yeah, maybe we can get a late round pick for him. Yeah, I think
if
he will. Yeah.
Get a seventh for KT, I'm thrilled. I don't think we can get a seventh.
I don't know, but I think someone would pick him up for sure if we don't keep him.
Who's desperate for a receiver? Oh, the Cowboys.
The Chargers. The Chargers, they would so do that.
The Broncos need a receiver.
Broncos. Yeah, there's people that would take him.
Patriots need a receiver. Steelers need a receiver. Yeah, but I'm telling you.
He'd be a great Steeler.
No, because head coach, you know my brain is fried.
Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin ain't having nothing KT is giving. He would take Sky because of.
Oh, man.
Not culture. He would take Sky because of his behavior. He has good on and off field behavior.
Yeah, God, I can see Sky. I don't know.
That conversation just stressed me out.
I'm just glad that I'm not Andy Reid and Brett Veach and trying to figure this whole thing out.
I'm just glad.
That's tough.
We don't have money issues like we had last year.
We have no drama.
No drama.
So,
great.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. While we're talking about the 53-man roster that releases next Tuesday, two people you think are going to get cut, two people you think are going to make the team. Go.
Okay. So I hate to say it because I was really excited about when we signed him.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're about to say.
Irv Smith Jr.
He's not making his roster.
He's not making it. I'm sad. I really thought he had potential, and he's had like two good days of camp.
Shout out to Jared Wiley.
A few good plays in preseason. It's not looking good. Chances are not looking good for my guy.
Oh, he's your guy.
They
didn't know what we were going to get out of Jared Wiley.
No, and right. They didn't even know we were getting him.
Put them two next to...
We signed Herb before we even...
Exactly. Before
drafted,
the draft even happened.
Yeah.
So they were like, you know what? Let's just go ahead and get a tight end just because. Let's be
Why
safe.
Why not? Yeah.
It's smart. Yeah.
Now, I think
we
could have
brought him in on that really cheap one-year deal that we can cut him for, and it ain't going to be nothing.
And I think he would definitely go to our practice squad, but I think he'd get poached. So, I don't know what that
Look, me, we'll by who? And then, like, we didn't just name 10 teams.
Yeah, name another 10 teams. We're not going to do that. But, but yeah, okay. I think
Irv Smith Jr. is on your cut.
Irv Smith. Mm-hmm. Cut. I'm low-key afraid for one of our draft picks. Kamal Haddon.
Yeah, he's not having a great camp.
I'm a little afraid he might get put on the practice squad, and then we have another Keandre Coburn situation. Because if you put a draft pick on the practice squad, they get poached almost immediately.
Especially if they come from Kansas City.
Especially the Chiefs. So
he got picked up twice, went to two teams, and got cut. And I'm like, what in the world?
I want him to make it, but like, I think that room is so
deep,
iffy right now. Like, it's just so... And I don't think he's done enough. I think he needs to have a huge game on tomorrow. if he's going to.
Is that tomorrow? Oh my God. That's
tomorrow. Yeah, it's tomorrow. I know. So I think he needs to have a huge game tomorrow if he wants to make it. Those are my two cuts. Do you want to give your cuts and then we'll give our make it, like our locks?
Yeah. I definitely think KT is a cut. I don't think he's making this roster.
Yeah, I agree. Which is crazy. I feel like he served his purpose on our Super Bowl 57 team.
Yeah, bless. Thank you.
And then I don't know. We need to study what happened after that, but it just rapid decline.
Yeah. And then I was thinking Irv. And honestly, I can't think of anybody. If anything, it would.
That's pretty telling if we both think that, you know.
Well, and we really can't afford to cut anybody in our secondary at all,
no,
or on our defensive line. Like, we actually need all the bodies. We need all the bodies, unless they're going to go out and get someone like a veteran to bring in. It would have.
Yeah,
to be,
I mean. There are some like that I think wouldn't be a surprise, right? Like, you're gonna have your fourth stringers that, yeah, you're probably not gonna make it. But
so I don't think LRZ is gonna get cut. I think he's gonna go to the practice squad. And it's not 100%. A matter of the talent not being there. I think he's just still learning. Like, he's never played in the NFL ever in his whole entire life. He's never had to wear a helmet. He's never had to wear pads. He's never had to learn Andy Reid's playbook at that.
You chose the hardest playbook in the league.
Exactly. So my thing is I think LRZ is going to go to the practice squad. I think that they're going to
100%
teach him, love on him, get him ready, put some weight on him because he's too skinny. Yeah. And then he may have a chance next season. So I don't think he's cut. The thing is, I look forward to his squad. Hopefully he doesn't get picked up.
There is a rule for international players that you can like have like one like on your like that no one can poach, we have that with Chu Godrick, who's on our O-line. So
correct.
LRZ, there's a risk. Now, I don't think he's shown enough that many teams are going to be like, we need to go get him.
He hasn't at all.
So I almost think it's strategic how much they're playing him even in preseason, because I think they really want to keep him on our practice squad. Yeah. And I think that's why you're not seeing like a ton of from him right now, because
they know
if you show too much, he will get poached.
And our waiver wire is going to be very interesting for whoever does not make it, because a lot of teams like to pick people up to be like, so what the heck were y'all doing at training camp?
Right.
Teach me. What were y'all doing?
Yeah.
Trying to get information from you. So it's like,
it's
just a lot of drama that happens there. So we'll see. So I'm just going to go ahead and say Irv Smith and Kadarius Toney. I think they're, because again, I think anybody on our defense we're keeping. And if we did get rid of someone, we would go get a veteran. And I think that if we were to go out and get a veteran right now, it would be at like the tackle position. So, yeah, that's my thought.
Do you want to give your locks first and then I'll give mine second?
Yeah. So Carson Steele, easy.
I knew. Yeah.
Easy.
That's our guy. That's our freaking
guy. We've been yelling for him, though, since, like, June. Yeah. So this isn't – I know it's August or September or whatever month we're in. We
mid-August
on his hype train for a minute. And I think my next lock is in the receiver room. And it is I think it's Justin Ross.
Okay.
I think it's Justin Ross. I like it. God bless. And last season I was like, he ain't making this roster.
Yeah.
He is not making this roster. Y'all need to calm down. I think that he does this year. And it's solely because we have no clue what's happening with Rashi Rice. Now, I will say NFL, if he was going to be suspended, well, no. I was going to say if he was going to be suspended, we would know by now, but no. I mean, no, we've had several players that have found out they were getting suspended like week two, week three, week four.
Yeah.
NFL. So, yeah. We don't know. He could get suspended for 4 or 5 games in the middle of the season and be gone all of October. We have no clue.
Right.
So
I that's hate why that. I we have no idea.
Justin Ross. Because if I had to look at him and Nico, who do I think knows the playbook better? It would be Justin Ross.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, he definitely does. I agree with those. I like those picks. I think for me, someone that I said back in March to not sleep on the signing of him was defensive back Kelvin Joseph.
Yes.
I think he is going to make the roster. I think people laughed at it because he hasn't been as maybe as flashy as people wanted him to be on other teams, whatever. And he also came from the Cowboys, which they, you know, those fans are wild and they
God bless.
Have all kinds of expectations. But I think Kelvin Joseph, I think he is a lock to make the roster. And I think he's had a good camp. He's done well. So,
and I think it's a matter of, all right, we know what we can get from you. Mm-hmm. Go over there. You're good.
Yeah, you're good.
Don't fuck on these other dudes. We know what we need from you. Thank you. Go learn the playbook. Go practice technique.
Yep. Bye. So I think him. Man. I'm trying to think like what other like
right
rooms we have.
What about I tried to go special teams and I'm like, all them dudes are gonna make it. Like I was like, okay, kicker duh, punter.
Trying
duh.
To yeah.
Like, those are all like the there's only and I think that's the thing about this team. There's only like 5 or 6 spots that it's like, is this a lock or not? Like,
okay, here's this
I think
is a
we
funny.
Know like 45 of our players.
I have a funny lock for you, but I think I've seen some people say differently. But I think our quarterback too is Carson Wentz and not Chris Oladokun.
Because people really think that.
Oh, I've seen people say that. Yeah,
they're very unserious.
Uh huh. I'm like, you don't know how Andy Reid operates if you really think Carson Reid is not. I mean, Carson Reid. Carson Wentz.
Carson Reid. It's definitely Carson Wentz. He's my favorite redhead. It's Carson Wentz.
Yeah, it's like, Carson Wentz.
Don't even be ridiculous.
No, because I have seen hot takes being like, Chris Oladokun should be quarterback too. I'm like, hello.
Just like, what was the one boy who everybody loved last season and then he went to the Bills and got hurt?
Bouchel. Shane
Everybody
Bouchel.
Loved Shane Bouchel last season.
But we all knew it was going to be Blaine Gabbert.
Shane Bouchel should be quarterback number 2. Hey, Ross.
Hi, Ross.
Yeah. It's like, what? Like, no.
So that's where I'm at. That's my funny second lock is Carson Wentz. Because
I mean, but Lexi, being honest, there's only like 5 or 6 positions where it's like, who can take this? Like,
I know.
We know 45 of the players, legit.
Yeah.
Like legit. Like
you know most of the roster. You just it's just the last
few
6-7 spots. Yeah.
And even there, those are the luxury pieces. They're not even like your starters. Like they're not your ones. They're your 2s and 3s.
And I just want y'all to know how lucky we are that we're in this position as a team and we don't have to worry about like
chef's kiss.
God, like the Broncos quarterback room, like who knows? I mean, you know, like the Raiders quarterback room. I mean, it's just there's so many questions around the league right now. Even like the Bills wide receiver room. I don't know what they look like. They're having MVS got super injured the other day with a neck injury.
Crazy.
Which I feel horrible.
I don't know what's going on in Buffalo, but I looked at like their injuries
the other day, and horrible. I was like, and same with the Dolphins too. They have a ton of injuries. I'm like
getting beat up.
And I even feel like talking about that also because
I feel like we're a little beat up too, especially in our secondary.
We are, and I will say, like
it feels like there's a lot of hamstring injuries, and I'm like,
it's been painful to watch our defense without the starters.
Oh God,
it's been painful. I was trying to rewatch part of the game last night, and I was like, "Yeah, this is atrocious."
I started this off in the fourth quarter.
Oh my God, like, I'm like, I started this off in the fourth quarter. And so, I don't think we have dove into it yet, but the cornerback battle is like, Spags does not, he is not instilling confidence in me. And I understand it's like, we haven't had every single defensive starter out on the field yet. And so they're not feeling like over, like even in camp. And so they're not feeling overly confident in their picks yet. But even like Joshua Williams, who's fighting to be cornerback too, he just went out with a hamstring. And who knows with that. Nazi Johnson faces his battles with his hamstring and leg. Yeah. Jalen Watson had his labrum.
Who should be back for week one.
Surgery on that. I mean, there's just like, there's no consistency at cornerback two right now. And if, God forbid, I'm going to knock on every single piece of wood right now, but if God forbid anything happened to Trent McDuffie,
you have to get a veteran.
We are screwed at cornerback.
Maybe that's where you have to go get a vet.
Yeah.
You might have to go get somebody there. Now, and I will say
you have like the Xavier Howards of the world are out there still.
And I am not mad that we did not pay L'Jarius Sneed. I'm not mad at that because we pay Chris Jones. We pay Tranquil. Like,
and I'm all for paying. Yeah.
If we got $17 and we got to divide the $17 up, I'm fine that that's where the dollars went.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, we might have to like scrape up some pennies, start a GoFundMe and go get us in the corner.
Actually.
Because who knows what this is going to. I think by week six, we will know if we need to go get it. By the time we get to the bye, because it's early, we will know if we might have some trouble out there.
And I think, you know, so we haven't seen on the field all at once. We haven't seen Chris Jones, Justin Reed, Nick Bolton. Those are like three really, really key guys. And we have not seen them on the field all together at this point. So you're kind of going in with a blind eye, which I hate, but I think they'll kind of get it figured out in practice these next 2 weeks before we play the Ravens.
Oh, yeah. They were all together last
season. And they don't scare me too much in the pass game. It's more like we're going to have to stop the run with Derrick Henry, which I trust our linebackers, our D-line. I think they've got that.
I hope so.
But, yeah, I think I expect probably Jalen Watson to step up as cornerback too, if I had to guess.
If he can stay healthy, that's the number two.
But I think that's been the most disappointing. Yeah. That's been the most disappointing, like, camp battle, I would say, as cornerbacks. Just because of the injuries and, like,
it's mainly
the lack of, like, breakout plays.
And I think it's I think it's solely because of the injuries. And we haven't really been able to see anything at camp because, you know, Justin Reed has been battling since early camp. So we don't even know.
He hasn't had one day.
So we don't even know what that looks like, but
no.
I do think that the veterans are going to be fine. I'm not worried about them. I think Justin Reed is going to come out and be him. I think the D-line is going to come out and do exactly what they do. The cornerback battle is where the anxiety lays for me.
Yeah.
And it's not even a matter of are those guys good? It's a matter of can they stay healthy? Yeah. So, yeah, it's not even are they good? Because I don't want them to go out there and be hesitant or scared to put weight on or scared to make a cut or anything like that because of what they've been battling with injuries all season.
I will say, like, with our cornerbacks, I feel way more confident in who we have as backup than I did like, let's say, like, 21, 22, when we had, like, Mike Hughes back there.
God bless.
And it was just a disaster class. It was a disaster class. So I feel way better in, like, the guys we have. So I think we're being almost maybe a little greedy because we were so elite on defense last year. not greedy, well, but like we just don't want to see a step down. But like well, we might have
we
to deal
shouldn't
with it a little
step
bit.
Down because it's yeah. the same guys. So yeah. we technically should not step yeah. down because it is the same dudes. It's just they're battling injuries.
Yeah.
And so we just got to just pray for their health and see what their health is going to look
good
like.
Vibes. Good vibes.
If they can stay healthy, they will be just fine.
Yeah.
So.
And I think they all have like Nazi, Jalen, Joshua all have incredible potential. They've all made incredible plays when they're needed to. Like, I remember even playing the Bengals a few years ago in the AFC Championship game. And I think Jalen and Joshua both had interceptions against Joe Burrow. And I'm like, they make plays when they really need to. It's just I don't know how consistent it's going to be. So that's I think the main
yeah it's I don't have any doubt in their ability.
Yeah,
it's
we just have to have the consistency and health.
A situation yeah. like that Bengals game where everybody went out and dudes had to come in and
remember
Sneed
was out like play one, it was terrible.
If we had to get back into like that situation and Trent McDuffie stepped up, like
yeah.
You know, yeah. I think we'll be able to identify incredibly early and Spags will be like, all right.
And I all and trust I in Spags and Dave Merritt, that. Too.
I think people need to also realize this defense is not going to be the defense of last year. And they need to realize that this defense is going to kind of pick back up like where they've been for years. Right. They yeah. always start off a little bit slow. They always start off a little bit rusty. And then after yeah. the bye week, they're usually clicking on all cylinders. I think we're kind of back to that this season. I think that was what our expectation was of them last season. And they just kind of started saving the day every game. So
I will say, like, thank
and
God.
And I don't think well, the defense will be on the field as much this year either. Because,
no, I fully agree.
Yeah.
I will say, too, like, thank God. We played who we played last year in regular season versus maybe who the wide receivers we face this year.
Yeah.
Like we played Tyreek Hill last year in the regular season. We played AJ Brown. We played those guys and our corners did really well. Yeah. And I will say we're lucky that we face like the NFC South this season where, you know, there's not a lot of elite talent on like the Panthers and the Saints and Falcons have like a few good guys, but I feel like it's nothing we can't keep up with, you know. So
no, I think we'll be just fine. If anything,
we'll be all right.
I think we're going against some tougher defenses than offenses this season.
Yes, I agree. I fully agree. And I really also Trent McDuffie, I need you to get a pick.
You owe us. You got your training camp pick, but like what is that? That doesn't do anything for us.
No, okay.
It's like he's owed us a pick.
And then just really, really, really quick to touch on just my last note. From preseason so far is week one was a complete embarrassment in special teams. And week two, they completely made it up.
Oh, they turned it around.
Dave, I think Dave Tobe took it really, really personally week one. And he was like humiliated and didn't ever want to look like that again. And week two, we looked really, really good on special teams from top to bottom with kicker, Butker, Matt Ariza, even Noah Gray stepping into long snap when he needed to. He did fantastic because James Winchester went out really briefly. Noah Gray did phenomenal at long snapping. I was watching. I was like, that was Noah. That was Noah.
It's what he used to do. I will say,
so,
I think week one.
They just
one,
looked so much better.
I think week one, all teams were trying to figure out what the heck is this new kickoff rule. And a lot of teams looked really bad. And I think that our special teams
we were
department.
One. Yeah.
Not only did they sit down and look at what we can do to be better, but they watched every team. What is every team doing and taking away different things that they can do to be better? So,
yeah.
I'm very happy with what that looked like. They're definitely... And I still think that they're holding back. I think week one is still going to look
sure,
incredibly
yeah.
different from whatever yeah. they bring out on the field tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I also think that the whole entire NFL is learning this. I think the refs are still learning this because they still call some plays wrong during games when the kickoff was happening. So it's only up from here. You can only learn yeah. to be better every single week. And who knows? This rule might not even be here next season. They might be like, you know what? We're going to go ahead and do away with this all together.
It's a never-ending yeah. change. But, oh, well. We hope I just honestly hope the refs can figure it out by week one because, God forbid, we're going to have that first – it's going to be that first game and everyone's – there's going to be some play that happens. I don't care if it's us or the Ravens that everyone's confused about. on special teams.
1,000%.
You just know. Like, we already, just be prepared.
Man. So. All right, let's keep wrapping this up.
Yes.
Like, let's get to wrapping this up. Fun. We've been here for
covered everything.
Time. I didn't even notice it until I just looked. I need dinner.
We both need dinner.
I'm like, hungry. But yeah. No, my banner went away. I'm like, my banner went away. Y'all.
So.
We got some great things happening. Great things happening here over at Kingdom Queens. And, you know, it's just time for us to let y'all know. Mm-hmm. We've been working behind the scenes real hard. High five, Lexi. No. No, we have two things that we want to announce tonight, and we're just super excited for the growth of Kingdom Queens. So many supporters have had our back, retweeting, following, commenting.
We appreciate all of you so much.
I don't think y'all understand how much we love and support y'all, but the first announcement is we are going to start a brand partnership with Boulevard Brewery here in Kansas City, Missouri. Thrilled about that, and we cannot wait to just see what's to come. I mean, yeah, we can't really talk a lot about it right now, but just know it's some great
it's coming. Boulevard Brewery, we are so excited.
As we have,
and there might be something this weekend too that we have going, so stay tuned for that.
No, but very soon.
Yeah,
of course we won't be live, but make sure you're following Kingdom Queens on Twitter. Make sure you're following Kingdom Queens on Instagram. Make sure you are following both Lexi and me on Twitter, because we're going to announce everything on there when things are coming. Yes. But yes, like Lexi said, we are excited about this brand partnership with Boulevard Brewery. And who doesn't want a quirk or a beer?
Their quirk seltzers are the best.
Okay. Like. Anyway, more details.
And their beer. Their beer is so good too.
More details to come on that. As we get there, we will let y'all know. The next announcement, holy crap.
Another
Kingdom
one.
Queens is also going to start a brand partnership with Homage Apparel. And y'all know who Homage is. They got the best apparel. So, super excited about that. Just know, we are working for some stuff for y'all right now. Like, the amount of emails I sent today, y'all, my fingers are tired. But we are working, and it is going to be a very, very, very fun.
There's only so much we can say right now, but just keep your eyes peeled and stay tuned with us for future things.
Yeah, real soon.
Because you're gonna want them. Just trust us.
Again, if you're not following the Kingdom Queens, you need to go hit the follow button immediately. Yeah. And you need to make sure you are following both Lexi and I immediately, because it's about to go up. Our handles are our names if you are not following us on Twitter. Lots of great stuff coming for KQ. Me and Lexi are super
grateful. We're so excited.
We're super blessed. We can't wait. Just know that we're still working too. There's some more stuff on the way too. It's more stuff on the way. So we are excited to have another great season of Chiefs football. This is season 3 for me and Lexi, which is crazy. Because I feel like we just started this like yesterday. But no.
I know.
We couldn't do this without any of y'all.
Super Bowls feel like a blur.
Yeah. It's like almost 1,000 listeners right now. So we could not do this without y'all. So thank y'all. We love
y'all. Thank you guys so much. Thanks for all the support. We appreciate it. Continue to interact with us. Continue to follow on our journey and see what else everything brings. And we have a Chiefs game tomorrow, and we're going to have a Twitter space before that. So if y'all want to join us,
we are. God bless. I forgot that we are having a space tomorrow at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time.
So we do pregame, halftime, and postgame. So if y'all want to get on like pregame, discuss what you think is going to happen. Yeah, it's tomorrow. Halftime, everyone can vent about what's happening. And then postgame, you can really vent about what happened. So,
yeah, like what the heck?
A lot of fun.
But I mean, next Tuesday is going to be very, very fun on the show. So make sure you are turning on your post notifications now. Next Tuesday is the NFL cut day. All teams have to be down to 53 men by 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
We go live right after at 7 p.m. So
we're going live right after. And we are going to look at the roster. We're going to smile. We're going to cry.
Deep
we're
going
to be surprised. But that's pretty much our whole show next week. And you know what? No, that's probably our whole show next week because we don't have to preview Ravens until the
fall. That'll be the next week. So
exciting. Next week's gonna be so good.
We're gonna know so much next Tuesday.
Continue to talk in the comments because we love to answer questions for y'all too. So have your questions ready about the roster next week, and me and Lexi will 1000% dive into it and talk to y'all about it. But I mean, other than that, I think that's all we got. If you are not, I feel like Lexi and I have said this now 100 times. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed to us on Spotify and Apple, because you can also hear us there. And you know,
that's about it.
That's it. That's it. So
until next time,
we are tired, y'all. Have a great night. Thank you for the support.
See y'all on Tuesday. Peace.